is making his way to Columbus for the game. What time is the flight?
I think it's actually a relatively later flight. I should probably know this considering I'm flying out in 2 days. But I think it's like a 2 p.m. flight, something like that. I got fortunate and got moved on to the direct flight from Cedar Rapids to Columbus.
Yeah, very cool that the Eastern Iowa Airport was able to put together some direct flights. They did one for the Ohio State game, and then there's one for the, I think it's the UCLA game?
Yes,
later this
season,
not
on
right?
that one. But I was fortunate enough to end up on the direct flight to Columbus. So I was going to have to be in Charlotte before that. So I do not mind not going to Charlotte for a layover.
The voice you're hearing is John Steppe, the Hawkeye beat writer at the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joins me every Wednesday throughout the college football season. And you and I were talking before we hit the airwaves here this morning that yesterday in Iowa City, kind of an interesting interactions with the players and then Kirk Ferentz, and they've had an extra week to get ready for this game, John, but this isn't any typical Big Ten foe that they're facing. This is a very good Ohio State team, and there's a reason that even though Iowa's in much better shape than they were, let's say, the last 2 or 3 years, there's a reason that they're still a 3-touchdown underdog in this game.
Yeah, and there's a reason why there's that number 3 next to Ohio State, and that could be a number 1 or a number 2 if they didn't play such an easy non-conference schedule. And the voters, myself included, have to keep that in mind as we're ranking these teams. And that's really the reason why Alabama's ahead of them and why Texas is ahead of them. But you look at it talent-wise, I always do a 5 opposing players to watch every Monday. And
how did you pare it down to just 5 this
week?
Well,
I kind of cheated and have a couple of those where it was this player and this player. So it maybe turned into a 6 or 7 players to watch. But you could go into 15 players to watch on this Ohio State team because they have that much talent that could very soon be in the NFL. And it's kind of like how Iowa had a lot of players who came back. So did Ohio State. And, you know, this is probably one of the best running back duos I've ever seen at the college level. I think a lot of NFL teams would be envious of this running back combination that Ohio State has. You look at the wide receiver core, and that is fantastic again. So you look at it, and some people would say the secondary is a strength of Ohio State, but you could also make a pretty good case for the defensive line, and you could make a good case for the linebackers too, where this is a really all-around talented, just stacked Ohio State team.
They are allowing 6.8 points per game at this point. Now, understandably, they have not played a murderer's row. They've played Akron, Western Michigan, Marshall, and Michigan State so far. But is there a path to Iowa getting the double digits in? I mean, they're in better shape than they have been the last couple years, but is there a way for them to win this game?
I think there's at least a way for them to be competitive longer than what we're used to seeing. You know, the 54-10 game was not pretty. And I remember that game, too, as the defense wasn't even as bad as you would think for 54-10.
But that was year number 1 on the beat for you, right? You were
that was year number first full year.
First full year, okay.
Second
so
year
you
on
covered
the beat.
That game, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, that was an ugly one. I think this has the potential to be more competitive than that for longer. Do I see a situation where Iowa wins? I'd be really surprised. Like, I will give up Starbucks for the rest of the season.
Well, I said I would drink the mustard-flavored beer if they win. You're giving up your Starbucks. I think that tells you everything you need to know about the matchup. They're allowing 6.8 points per game. They're scoring 48.8. How does Iowa slow down Ohio State offensively, given the fact that we've seen some defensive lapses against Iowa State, against Troy? If those schools are burning you, Ohio State could absolutely torch them this weekend if they're not all on the same page.
Yeah, I think it goes down to a couple of things. One thing is kind of a hallmark of the Phil Parker defense, but something that, as you referenced, has not been a strength this year in terms of preventing those big plays. And when you look at Jeremiah Smith, Emeka Abuka, you've got a really talented group of wide receivers who could really torch Iowa pretty easily in the secondary. So that secondary has to be sound, and they're going to have to do it a lot themselves. And you look at it, the front six, front seven, they're going to have their hands full too with this rushing attack and a very good Ohio State offensive line as well. So I think you have to prevent big plays, limit those. You have to stop the run. And then on offense, you need to kind of take advantage of whatever openings you get and put yourself in a position to at least extend drives, have third and manageables, give yourself a chance to play like how you like to play, where the risk you run is if Ohio State jumps out to an early lead, okay, this is a team that...
I like how you said if. It's just a little bit of hope there that the Hawkeyes can grab a 3-0 lead early on or something, that they're the ones with the early lead in this game.
Yeah, if you have that situation and Iowa has succeeded when they have run the ball well, that's just a tough position in terms of having to play catch up. So I think of this as Iowa really hasn't played a complete 60 minutes yet this year, and you can't have lapses on either side of the ball in this game in either half. You really need to play a full competitive four quarters. And the thing too is this could be a competitive first two quarters potentially, and then the score could totally not reflect that just because this Ohio State team is that good. And I would not be surprised if Ohio State doesn't really entirely let off the gas either in the fourth quarter.
You brought up the secondary. I'm going to play a clip here, and then I'll bring you back on to discuss. This is Kirk Ferentz discussing a new face that's popped up in Iowa's secondary.
I think he will. But, you know, again, that's a position where there's a lot of equity in there. The gap is fairly close, I think, with all four guys that we listed back in August. So it's week to week. We'll just let the guys keep playing, keep maturing, and see how they do. And yeah, Jamari's playing really well, and he's healthy, so that's a good thing for us. He's a really respected guy and a leader for us.
Now, he's talking about Jamari Harris there at the end, but at the beginning, he's talking about Deshaun Lee. Are we going to see more Deshaun Lee this weekend? Has he earned the ability to play a larger role in that secondary?
Well, they're going to need him or TJ Hall. And right now it seems like Deshaun Lee, contrary to what the Monday depth chart shows, I think Deshaun Lee seems to be the preferred option there.
Depth charts are as accurate as the weight on my driver's license. I want to be accurate about that. A svelte 275. Thank you very much.
So you look at it, and Deshaun Lee does seem to be that top option there. I would not be surprised if we see TJ Hall at some point, either on Saturday or at some point this season, defensively. LeVar Woods, for example, is among the advocates of TJ Hall during the bye week with the coordinator availabilities. So it's clearly somebody that they still have high hopes for, but he really got burned in that Iowa State game and then in that Troy game twice, and you just can't afford to have that against Ohio State. So I think Deshaun Lee is going to be a player where you're really going to need him to have maybe a career game here, just considering how good, you know, both the first and second options are for this Ohio State wide receiver position. You can't just rely on Jamari Harris being Jamari Harris.
Does Cade McNamara's experience going up against Ohio State at Michigan help in this game at all?
I think it does. I think it probably takes some of the... You look at it, and this team was outscored, 92-0 against ranked opponents last year. And having a quarterback who has beaten Ohio State before, I think does have, in terms of the mental side of the game, some benefit. But you look at it, and it's hard to compare the 2021 Michigan team beating Ohio State and this 2024 Iowa team against Ohio State. You look at it, and Cade had a pretty good team around him at Michigan. And so I think it's a little bit of apples to oranges, but I do think it does help in terms of, okay, it doesn't seem like this total invincible, you know, up in the sky as high as the Ohio Stadium press box, you know, opponent that is unable to be taken down.
So let's do this here. 1,000-foot view. I think it's safe to say that most of us, you and I included, are putting Ohio State into the loss column for the Hawkeyes. You look at the schedule after this game, Washington, Michigan State, Northwestern, Wisconsin, UCLA, Maryland, Nebraska. On a 1 to 100, I'm going to ask for a percentage here, 1 to 100%. Give me the percent that you think Iowa is suffering its last loss of the regular season this weekend.
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm going to go with 40%, only because I think there's going to be some team on that list that trips them up. Iowa should, on paper, beat all of those teams. I think Iowa is the better team than probably all of those. You can make an argument around Nebraska, but otherwise it's pretty clear cut that Iowa is the better team. But I think at some point they'll get tripped up by somebody. You look at it, Wisconsin put together a really good first half against USC. If they piece things together for four quarters at Kinnick, that could be the team. It could be Nebraska. UCLA does not look very good, but Kurt Ferentz does not have...
Let's just be honest here. They look terrible.
Yes.
But that's a Friday night game at the Rose Bowl. There's so many reasons to think that that game could be problematic. I don't even want to think about it.
Oh,
at
yeah.
This
West
point.
Coast games in Kurt Ferentz's
short week,
history.
Short week. It just... 40-some percent. I think that's an accurate assessment at this point. The schedule becomes extremely favorable for Iowa after this game.
Yes. Now, I would say that if you were to ask me the odds that this is either their last or second last loss, I'd put that probably closer to 80%, just because that's a pretty favorable schedule, as you mentioned, kind of looking down the road.
All right. Well, I will ask you this here. Again, we're putting this one most likely in the loss column, but on Mondays, I have the big man on campus where we sort of focus on the Hawkeye player that had the best game over the weekend. Who's my big man on campus? Not pretending like they're going to win this game. Who am I talking about on Monday on the show? Keeping Iowa in this game.
It's a really good question. I think
Drew Stevens, right? Special teams?
Reese Dakin, maybe. But in terms of non-specialists...
Punting is winning. Or covering the spread. Punting is covering the spread.
Really could fit well on the t-shirts.
Make that shirt for this weekend. Punting is covering the spread this weekend in Columbus.
I think we could see a good game from Jay Higgins. This is the type of competition. I think he pretty clearly sees himself as a future NFL linebacker, and this is a NFL caliber challenge here this week. So.
And an NFL payroll, too, with the NIL money. John,
What
can folks read from you at thegazette.com leading up to kickoff and, of course, following along with you on game day?
Well, it's a good thing you're sitting down to hear this first one, but ahead of Iowa playing in Columbus, I am, of course, writing about Luke Lachey, the Columbus native. Also looking kind of big picture at this running game, you look at it and quite the contrast last year to this year and kind of looking at some of the reasons. Obviously, Caleb Johnson is a very big reason of that, but kind of looking big picture at kind of how that came to be. And then kind of in the rearview mirror, also want to wrote about Joe Parker, the new deputy AD at Iowa, and that ran in Sunday's Gazette. You can find that online at thegazette.com, and that really seems to be a home run addition for Beth Getz in terms of what Iowa needs going into this new post-House versus NCAA world where players are going to get paid, you're going to have roster caps, and athletic departments are going to have to make tough decisions.
Yeah, we didn't talk a whole lot about Caleb Johnson here. Ohio State limiting opposing teams to just 61.8 yards total on the ground. It'll be interesting to see whether Caleb Johnson can keep his tremendous season on track. John, appreciate you taking the time to stop by today, and we'll turn you loose here, but the Gazette.com and, of course, JSteppy1 on X as well. Safe travels to Columbus. I'll see you next Tuesday in Iowa City as the Hawkeyes get ready for... Got to remind myself, this is a Big Ten football game. The Washington Huskies coming to town next weekend.
Thanks. Always a pleasure.